As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Bayern Munich announced back in February that this season would be Thomas Tuchel's last as their manager. Fast forward 3 months and Bayern are yet to find a replacement. Xabi Alonso, Julian Nagelsmann, Unai Emery and now Ralf Rangnick have opted to stay at their current jobs rather than join the German club. So why are Bayern struggling to fill their managerial vacancy? And who could they turn to next? I'm Ayoa Kimolere. Welcome to the Athletic FC podcast. So with us today, we have The Athletic's German football writer, Seb Stafford-Bleu, and also ex-Bundesliga striker, Jan Agerfjordtoft. Seb, back in February, Bayern announced that Thomas Tuchel would leave at the end of the season. We are now in, May? Bring us up to date.
Managerial search? I mean, how long have I got? We've had all sorts. We've had Julian Nagelsmann declining the opportunity to take the job. Obviously, Ralf Rangnick decided not to and to stay with Austria to lead them into the European Championship. Unai Emery extended his contract with Aston Villa or had an extension triggered. It seems now that they've moved on from whatever idea they had around Erik ten Hag. And most recently, it seems as if they're looking for a transitional appointment, something that will kind of allow them to move into a different era. I think it's looking more and more likely that Hansi Flick will come back to the club personally. For bringing everyone up to date on what's been happening at Bayern, that doesn't even include the Champions League semi-final they're about to play against Real Madrid, the strange duopoly between their Bundesliga form and what they've been able to do in Europe, storylines around Eric Dier's performance in central defence, Harry Kane's contribution, what does the future hold for Leroy Sané, Leon Goretzka, Joshua Kimmich, Serge Gnabry, even by Bayern Munich standards, quite a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, the Rangnick one was really fascinating because you felt like that looked like a really good fit for someone like him, obviously doing really great with the Austrian national team, a manager or a coach that's managed to unite fans and players. You know, looks like people are coming back to watch Austria. Exactly what Bayern needs, surely, uniting the club and the fans and the players.
Yeah, they needed an architect. I think Bayern are between eras. That's very clear. They know they need a new team. I think the problem, and Rangnick was certainly really attracted to the opportunity at Bayern, and the more he spoke to people at the club, the more attracted to it he became. Ultimately, Ralf Rangnick is 65 years old. I think what made the difference was the kind of the rhythms of international football. He's incredibly popular in Austria. He's rejuvenated the national team. They're kind of surfing a wave of something close to euphoria. But also, if you get to coach a team 4 or 5 times a year in short bursts versus having to be on the training ground every single day, having to coach under the glare of the Bavarian media and the national media in Germany. These are two very, very different environments. And I can completely understand the appeal of Bayern, but also understand why Rangnick stayed.
Yeah, and let's bring you in. Nagelsmann, Alonso, Emery, Rangnick was just spoken about. Saying no to Bayern Munich. I mean, this is one of the most dominating teams in the Champions League football, but also the biggest team in Germany. I mean, the optics aren't great.
No, and that's why I think you have to understand the setup of Bayern, because if we try to understand what Bayern is all about, because there are people who want to coach Bayern. I mean, that's one of the most attractive jobs in international football. But now he's going into a comedy where there's always rejections, and the guy who will come in now will be alternative D or E on a good day. So you have to understand that Bayern is so much more than an English Premier League club. In an English Premier League club, the only guy you hear about is the manager. If he's good in the media, if he's good communicator, but it's the only one you got. Whatever happened with Super League or whatever, points deduction, all the owners, all the bureaucrats at the club, they're hiding behind a manager. So that is, in Bayern, you got Max Eberl, who is the head of sport. Then you have Christoph Freund, who is kind of a sporting manager. Then you have Dresden, who is the CEO. You have Heiner, who is the president. Then you have Uli Hoeneß, who's been around since he was 27 in his job at Bayern, building the modern Bayern with Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. And all these people have more or less a media advisor, without, except Uli Hoeneß. He doesn't have an advisor. And the last days, you only see now, they're playing, we are recording this in the middle of Wednesday, so they're playing tonight in the biggest game of the season against Real Madrid. And the last 2 days is all about Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, who's not even having an official job at the club, talking about how they're going to sort out things. The reason I say this is that when Ralf Rangnick will be approached by Bayern, we will think that, yeah, great fit for him. But the problem is also for Ralf Rangnick that he is one person in all these persons. So when he had Hoffenheim or Schalke or wherever he was building up a club. But all these roles are taken at Bayern. But I'm with you guys when you say that he felt that. I think he first said no, or I know he first said no, and then he warmed into it to take it because it's Bayern Munich, it's the biggest club. What can I do? I'm German, being at the best address in Germany. But at the end of the day, it was down to him thinking that the next 2 months or the next 1.5 months, then he had to have two jobs, being the Austrian national coach, and he had to make that transformation at Bayern. Having said that, I just want to add that Bayern is always in a transformation. They are that from Monday to Tuesday morning. So this is when they say they're going to change things at Bayern. They are changing Bayern from show to show at TV or whatever Bild Zeitung and Kicker is writing.
I love that. I mean, I was going to ask you how big that rebuild is at Bayern, Seb, because you talked about Leroy Sané, for instance, and certain players, who knows where they'll be going. But I mean, could you even say the rebuild even stems back to the back room of Bayern as well? Like, I mean, you look at teams now like the Arsenals and Manchester United to a certain degree, having to really drag out the old regime to now think of more innovative, newer, more dynamic people to bring in. Perhaps Bayern is sort of cursed with this sort of tradition that sits at the club.
Yeah, I think this actually gets to one of the issues at the heart of the matter, which is, and one of the reasons why I think they've had difficulty attracting a coaching candidate. Bayern have reformatted their entire recruitment department in the space of a year. So Christoph Freund joined in the summer of 2023, Max Eberl only about 6 weeks ago. And so I think one of the issues is that tension between, right, so what is Eberl's influence at the club look like? Where does his influence end, and where does Uli Hoeneß, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, where does their influence start? And so if you're a coach, if I was a coach now looking at that job, I'd want to see, right, how does this club perform within in a transfer window? Who's making the decisions? What is the overriding philosophy? Is it being driven by a kind of a Red Bull recruiting model, which you'd think it would with Max Eberl's history, Christoph Freund obviously coming from RB Salzburg? So you want to see first, and you want to see the dimensions of this thing sketched out properly before you commit yourself to the project. And I think a lot of those things which are happening in the background are good. I like the Freund appointment. I really like Eberl coming in. I like what these people represent. I like that Jochen Sauer, the head of the academy, another former Red Bull person. So you have that kind of triangle of power, but all these little synergies within the club. I still want to see how it functions. If you're a kind of coach who's attracted to Bayern Munich or who attracts Bayern Munich's interest, you have your reputation on the line, and you have to operate on a very, very bright stage. I want to know the conditions under which I'm working before I go there. And I think that's part of this issue here.
Xabi Alonso, I mean, still unbeaten this season. I mean, in terms of who comes for Bayern next season. I mean, you'd like to think Leverkusen are up there. I mean, we see what Dortmund did last night, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But in terms of who they look for next after Tuchel, have the goalposts been moved? They need to get this absolutely right. Bayern can't go another season trophyless.
Well, it's an interesting question because you're talking about Alonso. You know, the guy that has only been coached for 1.5 years. So it's depending on how you kind of move the goalposts. The thing is with Bayern is that they are always in a balance of their history and that La Famiglia kind of feeling. Uli Hoeneß' philosophy has always been to get people in who have the Bayern DNA, the thing that you have had to have played for Bayern, and somehow just thinking back with the Franz Beckenbauer, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Uli Hoeneß, Gerd Müller, Sepp Maier, the goalkeeping coach, they were always there. Coming into a new stage now, the exceptions be Hitzfeld and Heynckes, who were very popular and successful with them. But you always see Niko Kovac, he had played there. He was the coach there. Yeah, and Felix Magath was the exception as well, when he had two doubles in a row. But you have Niko Kovac. Then you said the new CEO need to be a former Bayern player. So that was Oliver Kahn. Salihamidzic, the sporting director. Max Eberl is also a background for them. So I think that is a quite interesting discussion. Where do you look for a new coach? You've seen that with Manchester United. You've seen that we've seen it now with Liverpool. Where do you go from the guy you're having? Do you look for a similar kind of coach? Can you dare to think that you take someone from outside Bayern, try to renew them? Can you do that when 8 people are talking in the media on a daily basis, and so on and so on? So, but I think that let's not overdo the crisis at Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich is one of the greatest club in the world, is one of the clubs who are run, when we say this is how a club ought to be run, because they're a member, they have the 50+1 rule, they're still up there commercially, they are sensational. So they have managed the club in generations against all odds, against all the oil and gas of this world, they managed to have a top team. And Leverkusen took over now, but I guess Bayern will be the next season as well. They will find a coach, and I'm with you guys. I think they will end up at the end of the day with a, quote, boring appointment. They will give it to Hansi Flick, as it seems now, because you need someone just to steady the ship as they are now.
Does the emergence of Xabi Alonso and what Leverkusen have done this season, and maybe even Dortmund last night, now into another Champions League final in their history, talk of the Bundesliga? And should we be wary to say the Bundesliga's back, you know?
Well, I don't know about that, but what I would say is that I really think, and Jan is right, no one should overdo the crisis at Bayern. I think ultimately, in the long run, what happened this season with Leverkusen was good for Bayern, because if you look at their points tally and their general level of performance over the last 3 or 4 years, Bayern have been getting worse, but it hasn't mattered because they haven't had a worthy opponent. Now they've been obliterated by Leverkusen. What it's forced is them to examine their processes, their structures, how they recruit players, what kind of players they sign, how effective is the pipeline between what is a academy loaded with really, really good young players. I've seen a couple of them play, and that they're a coming force. And it's almost forced them into a reboot. And so I think what it will end up with is Leverkusen maybe not provoking a stronger Bundesliga as a whole, but I think a stronger Bayern Munich is going to emerge. And look, I understand the point about Bayern dominating the Bundesliga and it being boring, but commercially, the Bundesliga really does need a strong Bayern, because they are the true global club in Germany and they attract the most interest. It's people in England don't always necessarily understand how grand a club Bayern are and how much interest they attract in Asia and North America. And it really is a global club. And I think what will reemerge from this period is something better than we've seen in quite a long time.
You're listening to the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Well, Jan, you've both spoken about Hansi Flick potentially taking this post, but let's say Tuchel goes all the way in the Champions League and you've got these two German clubs in the final of the Champions League, which would be a brilliant advert for the Bundesliga. Could we see a U-turn, as we've seen in Barcelona with Xavi?
I said a week ago, I think that Tuchel will have them ask him, can you do the job? And then he will reject them. I think maybe Tuchel, he's capable of doing that. But it's quite interesting because I have the privilege of have two lovers, and that's Bundesliga and the Premier League. And
I thought this was going somewhere else then.
I will not go there. I don't have the privilege for that. So I always see this Farmers League thing going on. And if you see your football, and you can always, it's difficult to compare leagues anyway. But I think that it's also good for English football that they see what's going on in the Bundesliga now, because there's a lot of great work being done there. But it's interesting when English teams are not in the semi-final, it's because they have there's too many games. And if the German teams are not doing well in Europe, it's because of the 50+1 rule. Last season, we had City winning the Champions League. Now we have two German teams at the semi-final. But to your original question, no, I don't think Tuchel will do that. Tuchel is a very stubborn and pride manager. And who would? I mean, if you got rejected from one lover, you won't come crawling back. Well, no, I only speak for myself.
Very quickly, though, what are the Ten Hag links as well? That's another manager they sort of considered, Jan. Is there a possibility Ten Hag come into Bayern Munich, Tuchel go into Manchester United? I mean, that's quite an amicable swap, I'd say.
There's only one club who wants Ten Hag and Bayern more than Bayern, maybe, and that's Manchester United. So I don't think that will happen. We could end up in a situation where Tuchel goes to Manchester United, Ten Hag go to Bayern, but no, he won't go to Bayern Munich. And yes, he was on the list because he was there when Pep Guardiola was there doing his second team and so on. So he was on the list. But that list must be the biggest list in the history of football if you listen only to German journalists, because they're everybody on the list now. They had a survey in Bild-Zeitung the other day. It was 23 names, 23 names. I do think that Max Eberl and Christoph Freund are two of the best ones in the business. I think they start with the philosophy. They start with the targets to kind of catch up with Leverkusen again. And then the consequence of that will be a list with candidates who can make them do that. That's why I don't think Zinedine Zidane will come there, because he's too kind of controversial in time. Don't understand German football. Maybe don't understand the politics at Bayern, which is very important. Don't understand the media landscape in Germany. That is not to compare with English, because it's so close. Remember, in Bayern, I guess in the Bayern dressing room, the media will have four or five spies. And I'm not saying this to be funny. This is the truth. I played in Germany. I'm not saying I was a spy, but there were spies in the dressing room.
Jan, thanks so much for your time. I know you've got to head off. I really appreciate you joining us on the Athletic FC podcast.
Pleasure.
Nice one. See you later.
See you later.
This is the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
We jokingly spoke about Ten Hag, obviously, because he was linked with a lot of other names that potentially could take over at Bayern Munich, which really got us really thinking about this sort of scarcity of top managers, especially in this age of football, right? Jack Pitbrook wrote a brilliant article talking about how seemingly scarce the number of top-level coaches are, especially the ones that would go to big clubs like Bayern Munich. Is there a shortage? Is there a dearth of really top managers out there that could just slip into this job? Because as we're seeing, this appointment for a new manager for Bayern Munich has not been easy.
Yeah, I think a couple of things are happening here. I think, first of all, the previous era got us used to the idea that you'd always have these high priests at the top of the game. You'd always have Guardiola, a Mourinho, a Conte, all of these people, and they would kind of, people of that stature would just be able to rotate into jobs of a scale that suited them. I think that period is gone. I think for various reasons, obviously Guardiola has held this position in the past. Mourinho and Conte completely unsuited to, with their temperament, to working for Bayern Munich and the politics that Jan mentioned. I think what's interesting is you don't have a kind of a coming generation of coaches who could potentially gravitate towards this sort of role. They had a go at employing one. Julian Nagelsmann was obviously kind of representative, emblematic really of the kind of the next generation. Didn't work out. But you look around Europe and it's not necessarily a lack of coaching ability, because there are very talented coaches working everywhere. It's profile. And I feel like when you talk about a club like Bayern Munich, you're almost talking about a certain level of celebrity. You're not really talking about ability. You're like, if I was to construct a Bayern Munich team, I don't know, Paulo Fonseca would do a good job with his football and the young players they have coming through at Bayern Munich. Or, you could do lots of interesting things with lots of different interesting coaches, but you're talking about statesmen. And when you think of people who have succeeded at Bayern in the past, think of someone like Jupp Heynckes, right? They are statesmen of the game. They are people with a certain gravity around them. And there is a bit of a dearth of that sort of personality now. And I think that's the problem we're dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, look at someone like Unai Emery, for instance, who's at Aston Villa, and even Xabi Alonso to a certain degree. Is it okay just to say, actually, some of these managers are just happy where they are? Xabi Alonso, he's just kind of figuring it out. This is an anomaly season for a lot of managers. Can we just say, do you know what? They're actually happy. Yes, Bayern might be tempting, but they seem to have a bit more control where they're at.
I think we're describing two different situations, but also the value of, as a coach, being in an optimal environment. So Emery is interesting because Villa have essentially built out their sporting structure around him. Emery's got a huge Spanish-speaking coaching staff. It's about 24 different employees. He's very close to the sporting director and also to Monchi, who's the president of football operations. Worked together at Seville, obviously. And Alonso in Leverkusen, again, you're seeing a lot of the same patterns. So his working relationship with Fernando Caro and Simon Rolfs, who are the CEO and the board director of sport respectively, very, very strong, communicate all the time, they're extremely close. And I think when you don't have that, like modern football punishes you, this is not the era where you can just be a manager at a club and you're kind of king of your kingdom. You are an employee and you're only ever as good as how much alignment you benefit from. And so for Emery, looking at like Bayern Munich are not going to bend to employ 20 different members of staff for Unai Emery. Alonso is a year and a half into senior management, has a situation which is enormously profitable, a young team that's only getting better. And he looks over and sees Bayern Munich are a huge club, much, much bigger than Leverkusen. But he also sees, hey, difficult political situations. You've got to move on players. Do they have the infrastructure that's necessary to accommodate those changes? And as we said before, what does that technical structure actually look like? What is its role? What is its philosophy? What is its power within the context of Bayern Munich? So loads of uncertainties. So to go from Leverkusen, where you know your environment so well, to somewhere where you don't, very, very risky. And I think managers are becoming more cognizant of the risk of that.
Yeah, for sure. And do you also think there's something around the dearth of managers that have operated at the top flight? I mean, it feels like a waiting game, right? Unai Emery, you could say, you know, with his Europa League success and really decent success in Spain. But I'm talking Champions League, people that have lifted the Champions League, but also known to rejuvenate a team. I mean, the only other option really I'm thinking about is Carlo Ancelotti, and he's fine, he's fed. But could you take a risk like Tottenham have for someone like Postecoglou, for instance? But I guess the gravitas of Munich and Tottenham are very, very different in that respect.
100%. Media focus, size of the club, expectation, patience, completely different worlds. But I think this is one of the lost aspects of modern football, is that you're not really allowed to reinvent yourself. You're not allowed to say to a fan base, this season's not going to be very good, right? We're going to try some stuff. We're going to put this guy in. It might not go well. We might take, you know, we might take a drubbing over here and a battering in this game. But bear with us. I mean, you mentioned Postecoglou. Well, look what's happening. Loads of good things at Spurs at the beginning of the season. Their form has trailed off, but their style of football has been altered for the better. And they're heading for European qualification in fifth place, having finished eighth a year ago. Success, right? And yet, already the clamour is, this isn't working, tear it up, let's start again, and that's at Spurs. At Bayern Munich, it's completely different. The kind of the cliche is that in England, you know, no club is more than three games away from a crisis. Bayern's won Honestly, every time Bayern loses, it's a crisis. Jan talked about it when he was on. It's true. It's a circus. And it's very, very difficult to... It's very, very difficult to take a risk, especially around someone who is as public-facing as a head coach.
Mm. I guess we're also at a point where there's a real influence of ex-players doing well. Bring up Alonso again. Arteta, under Guardiola's leadership for so many years, doing really well at Arsenal at this moment in time. Motta, I guess, Thiago Motta, Bologna. I mean, Inzaghi, let's not forget, you know. Who else have you got your eye on that could be really interesting in terms of players turned manager that potentially could see hitting that ceiling of super manager, top manager?
I think this is part of the problem. There are people doing interesting things in the game. I'm going to be terribly niche here and point to Fabian Hürzler's work at St. Pauli, who's just about to take them into the Bundesliga. That's very interesting. He's 31 years old, has done amazing work there. But that isn't the kind of scale that we're talking at. And I think this gets back to the kind of one of the problems that we were talking about earlier, which is that you don't have that obvious coming generation of like, I wonder what this guy is going to do in this job and how he's going to perform there and at what point is he going to ascend to the top of the game? The kind of the Nagelsmann cycle, if you will, that doesn't really exist at the moment beyond the names that you've mentioned. And added complication here for Bayern Munich, at least, is that you kind of have to speak German. English, okay. So one of the problems with Zinedine Zidane is he doesn't speak English or German, and it's just a non-starter. You can't survive in that environment without either language, really. And so that narrows the playing field even further.
Mm. All right, let's bring you back to German football. Munich play Real Madrid in the Champions League semi-final. Potential of an all-German final against Dortmund, who beat PSG. What have you made of Dortmund's journey up until this point? Because I think very similar to Bayern Munich, league form and European form are so, so different.
Even more different, right? Because with Bayern Munich, you can look at the starting lineup and you see world-class players. Mm. You see the best goal scorer in world football, to my mind. You see Kimmich and Goretzka and Neuer, and even though they're not playing at the top of their game, like really high-priced, highly regarded defenders, and Sané and Gnabry and Mazraoui playing really well, you know. So you can kind of imagine how it might have gone well. Dortmund, different story, because there's nothing about Dortmund which is outstanding. Their Bundesliga form, they look very much like a team who are still desperately wounded by what happened last year and haunted by their experience on the last day of the season against Mainz when they let the title fall away. And yet, somehow, in a Champions League road, which has seen them having to play Newcastle, Paris Saint-Germain in the group, AC Milan, Atletico Madrid, a very good PSV too. At every point, people say, they'll lose that. They weren't even expected to not even get out of their group, but finish third in their group. And yet here they are. And I have to say, because of that, because you look at a group of players who, in some cases, there are very good players there. Like I still think there's some real talent. Jadon Sancho has come alive in the last couple of weeks. Karim Adeyemi was magnificent in the first game. Mats Hummels, Nico Schlotterbeck, really good performances. However, because their limitations are so obvious and because they're laid bare so often in Germany domestically, there's something very moving about the way they played against PSG. It was very, the real desperation and such a wholehearted, rugged, sweat-filled performance across both games. And I think it was something the football needed. I remember immediately after the game finished on Tuesday night, people talking about, well, yeah, but PSG missed loads of chances and they had lots of shots and, you know, they hit the bar like a million times. Doesn't matter. Football as entertainment, as spectacle, is based on this idea that it's not always going to finish exactly as it should. And into that mix come this weird Dortmund side who, like, nobody, even now, like, describing them as a Champions League finalist is kind of absurd because they're not good enough to be there. But somehow they have been. And it reminds me a little bit of that run that Tottenham went on in 2019. It's you know, not doesn't quite have the same optics to it, but you know, a similar sort of out of place. This is a bit weird, but because it's a bit weird, it's really wonderful. And yeah, I've loved watching Dortmund. I've hated watching them in the Bundesliga because they've so often been less than themselves. In Champions League, it's just, what a fairy tale. In the genuine sense, not in the cliche try, oh, what a fairy tale. Genuinely, a magical story, because look at Marco Reus standing next to BVB's Capo in the Parc des Princes last night, or Mats Hummels, 35-year-old Mats Hummels, he's almost as old as I am, playing like he's 25 again, like he looked like the player he was in 2014 in the World Cup. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we all love the game.
And for sure.
A few of those Tottenham fans and also England fans will be hoping to see Harry Kane in a Champions League final. Seb, thanks so much for your time. And of course, Jan as well. And also, do not forget to rate and review the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We are back tomorrow.
The Athletic.